whatsoever will. Let him go.
You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 13 is our text for tonight. Let's pray and we'll dig into our study for tonight. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we are grateful to have heard the message of the gospel, grateful, Lord, to live in this country, grateful, Lord, to be gathered freely, openly, in peace, right downtown Ottawa tonight, praising your name, being surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ who are so different from us, yet we feel a kinship with them. Lord, praying and trusting that you'll do a miracle tonight in our hearts. You'll change us from the inside, and it'll reflect on the outside. Lord, that you would continue your work in us. Open up your word to us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 4, verse 13, we read Moses talking, and he says, "But he said, O my Lord, please send someone else." It's a remarkable statement. Remarkable from several angles. Let alone it's so close to no Lord, which is illogical. You can't say no and then say Lord, because if he's Lord, you can't say no to him. If you say no, then that means he's not Lord. Right? It's so close to that. He says, oh, Lord, please send someone else. And then, of course, you see the next verse where the Lord just gets angry. Just like so frustrated. Moses. Remarkable statement. Remarkable statement. It's remarkable. Again, several angles, but I want to look at three of them. I want to look at, it's remarkable because who Moses is talking to, remarkable because of who Moses is, and then I find it remarkable that Moses is able to actually voice resistance to the Lord. I find those things fascinating. So I just want to kind of draw our attention to tonight. So first, remarkable because of who Moses is talking to. Back up in chapter 3, and look with me at verse 6. God, of course, comes down in the flame of fire in a bush, and the bush doesn't burn. It's burning, but it's not consumed. And the Lord goes in, or Moses goes and sees what's going on. And then in verse 4, Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, we read, when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called to him out of the bush and says, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, don't come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you're staying is holy ground. And then the Lord introduces himself and he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is who is talking to him. He's saying, listen, I am your father's God, and I'm the God of your ancestors as well. This is who the Lord is. He goes on in verse 7 and 8. Look at what he says here. And he's just, again, describing who he is. And he says, I have surely seen. I've seen. You can underline that in the Bible. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. He sees it. He hears it. And then the next statement he says is, I know their sufferings. I know it. I see it, I hear it, and I know it. I know what's going on down there. And then verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And what he's saying, basically, is he's saying, Moses, this is who I am. I'm the God of your father. I'm the God of your ancestors. I am the God who sees what's going on. I hear their cry, the cry of their affliction. I know their suffering. And I am come down to deliver them. And he's saying to Moses, he's saying, listen, I want you to be my representative. I want you to go and talk to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. This is who God is. He goes on again down in verse 13. If you buzz down to verse 13, next paragraph. Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? Which, by the way, they never asked that. What shall I say to them? God says to Moses, I am who I am. He's the one who's called the I Am. He is, shortening a very long theological discussion, he is, in short, the only one who is self-reliant. You think you're self-reliant. You're not. You're reliant on Google and on the 3G network, and you're reliant on your parents, and you're reliant on your neighbors, and you're reliant on the farmers. We're reliant on everybody. We're reliant on our government. We're reliant on the army to keep us safe. No, he is the only one that is self-reliant. Beyond that, he is the only one that is self-existent. He exists of his own decision. You didn't decide to be born. You're about 7 or 8 years old. You realized you had been born. I meant life. This is life. Oh, what's life all about? Oh, life's not fair. I have a sibling, you know. And as you get older and you get to be a teenager, life's really not fair. I've got messed up parents, you know. And you just on and on and on. And then, you know, all the injustice of the world kind of takes you up when you're in university and you're fighting all the fires everywhere. And then you get to my age and you don't care anymore. And you just ignore the paper, you know, this kind of thing. Anyway, but he is the only one that is self-existent. He has chosen in among himself to exist, and then he is the one that puts everyone else in existence. He's self-existent. I am who I am. He's also, very psychological statement, he's okay with himself. I am who I am. There's no playing games, there's no facades, there's no, you know, none of that kind of stuff. He's, no, I am who I am, and I'm cool with it. A lot of us are working on being cool with it. You know, he is self-existent, self-dependent, self-reliant. He is also timeless. We're trapped in time. He's outside of time. I am who I am. I am in this moment who I am. Timeless. He is also the present one. He is present in the moment right now in proximity to us. And so what he's saying to Moses is, I am that I am. I'm here right now, and I'll always be here. He always lives in the present, even though he's outside of time, but he is present with us. He is the present one. Another word that you can put around the statement that he makes about I am who I am is he is, in actuality, the only thing that is real. You can take it one more step and say, he is reality. I am that I am. Mind-bending statement. Self-existent, self-dependent, timeless, present one. He is reality. I am that I am. And it's almost like he's saying, I am and a blank. Kind of fill in the blank. Jesus came along later and filled in the blanks. John chapter 6, verse 32, I am the bread of life. John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door of salvation. John chapter 10, verse 11, and John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I love that. I don't have to be, well, I aspire to be a good shepherd, but I'm really not. Those that know me well know that. Don't talk to my wife. You're not allowed to talk to my wife or my kids. But I could just continue pointing you towards the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's the great pastor. I am the good shepherd. John 10, 11. John 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the truth. I am the life. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, fascinating. I am the true vine, and apart from me, you can do nothing. What a statement. I am who I am. I am that I am. So he's introducing himself to Moses, and he's saying, listen, I'm the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I am who I am. I am the one who sees. I am the one who hears. I am the one that knows affliction, and I am the one that has come down to deliver them. And I'm inviting you on my mission. And just in case you're wondering, I am reality. I am life. I am self-existent, self-dependent, timeless, and present. You can't put your mind around that. Some of us are going to go home tonight. We're going to try to put our minds around that. You can't put your mind around that. You cannot. It's impossible to put your mind around it. Look up some commentaries. They can't put their minds around it. You can't put your mind around it. Then he goes on. Chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, he talks some more. Chapter 3, verse 16. Look at what he says. Man, these numbers are small. Go and gather the elders together. Say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. I know what they did to you. I saw it. And verse 17, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt and to the land of the Canaanites. And he goes on and on and on, flowing with milk and honey. And then look at this. And they will listen to your voice. He knows that. He observes what's going on. He promises to deliver them. And then he knows how they're going to respond. He goes, I know they're going to respond. I know they're going to listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel, you're going to go to the king of Egypt. And this is how it's going to go down. And then look at verse 19. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. He already knows how it's going to go. So if your mind didn't break on the I am who I am statement, you're not going to have a chance when it comes to how he knows everything that's going to happen before it happens already. I've been on that one for years. My brain breaks every time I get anywhere close to it. The best I've heard on the whole God knows in advance, the best thing I've heard on that is God is like the CBC commentator up in the hot air balloon that sees the whole gay pride parade in Toronto going through the city at once. And we're like the person standing on the street corner seeing it go by at once. Go by at one time. You understand that? We see time like this. He sees times from their perspective. It's a terrible example of the gay pride parade, but it's the only parade that goes on in the city. We could use let's use the Christmas parade. Nobody goes to it. But we'll use the Santa Claus Christmas parade in Orleans. Me and four people have been out there to see it. You understand? So, and there's no hotter balloon for that one. Nobody's up on the top, on the television, going, yeah, we're up here, and here's what's coming up next. You know, and they can't put that stuff on TV if it's the gay pride parade anyway. Thank God. Well, not yet. Well, hopefully not yet. Hopefully I'll never be able to put it. Anyway, we're off on a tangent. You understand that he sees the end from the beginning, right, where we're stuck seeing it as it comes by. That's the best I got. However, what's fascinating here is that you and I are reading this, and many of us already know how this story's going to go. Right? So in a sense, we are kind of looking at this story the way that God looks at it, because he already knows what's going to happen, and we're reading it and seeing it. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that change the fact that each one of them still has decisions to make that are free?
Absolutely. But we already know what their free decisions are. I know. I broke your brain right there. Just here's the bottom line. You're never going to be able to think the way that God thinks. Because he's God. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you have to choose what you're going to do. You have to make a free choice. So, he already knows how they're going to respond. He knows how the people are going to respond. He already knows how Pharaoh's going to respond. And look at this, verse 20. Because we're still talking about who God is. He is the I am. I am that I am. He is the God of the Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He is the God who sees, hears, knows, who's going to come down, do something about it. He's the one that observes. He's the one that promises to deliver. He's the one that knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. He already knows the future. Maybe he'll tell you what the numbers are for the lottery. Doubt it. No harm in asking. In faith. I'd throw Jesus' name in there too if I were you. But he may say, no, I'll tell you when you get here. Anyway. But he is that one that knows. And then look at verse 20. He says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I'll do in it. He's the one that can strike the land, the people, the animals. I mean, he is unlimited in power. He's saying, hey, this is who I am. And then look at verse 21. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. When you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask for a neighbor, and any woman who lives in her house for silver, gold jewelry, and for clothing, you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Look at what he says in verse 21 again. I will give this people favor. Amazing. This is who Moses is talking to. Moses is talking to the one. The one. And he says, oh Lord, please send someone else. Remarkable that he could say that to the Lord, to the I am. I know you came down here in the burning bush and everything, and you met me here, and you already knew I was going to be here, and you're burning the bush, and it's not consumed, and I know it's the angel of the Lord, and the last time any of our family people have heard anything from the angel of the Lord is when Jacob wrestled with you, you know, back over there, and got the limp and everything, and now we don't eat that part of the meat, and every time we eat the cow or the goat or the sheep, I know you come through all this trouble, and you found me way out here in the desert, you found me, and you're talking to me, I understand all that, and I understand you're telling me exactly who you are, and you even gave me your name, which Jacob didn't even get your name. Now I got your name, but you know, really honest, please, oh Lord, please, just pick somebody else. Send somebody else. Remarkable. They say that to the Lord. You say, well, okay, well, maybe it's not actually the Lord that's the problem. Maybe it's Moses that's the problem. Remarkable, it's a remarkable statement based on who's saying it. Moses is saying it. Well, who's Moses? Moses. Well, you know, this was actually one of Moses' first objections. One of Moses' first objections was like, hey, you know, I'm really not all that great of a guy. You go back in chapter 3, and you look at, I didn't mark on the verse. That's not bad. That's bad. That's bad. Oh, there it is. Verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. So the Lord says, hey, I've seen, I've heard, I know, I'm gonna coming down, I'm going to deliver, I want to invite you, I want you to go see Pharaoh. And then in verse 11, Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Listen, who am I for this job? You say, well, why is Moses saying, we know the story. We already know that Moses is going to be the greatest leader that humanity has ever had outside of Jesus Christ. profound in Jewish history, Jewish culture. Moses, he's the dude. We know that. But here he is, he's saying, listen, who am I that I'm going to do this? Why would he say that? Here's why he would say that. He spent the last 40 years in the desert, shepherding sheep. He's broken, used up, washed up. He doesn't have anything to offer anybody. He's removed completely from the situation. I mean, imagine a dude from the 70s showing up now. Right? Who's 80? He's 80 years old. He's so broken up, washed up. Some of you guys read it today. He hadn't even passed on his faith to his children. You say, well, Andy, that's a pretty bleak picture. Well, it was a bleak picture. No doubt it was a bleak picture. But it didn't start out as a bleak picture. It started out completely the opposite. Moses was the golden child, promised child. It's a miracle baby. In the midst of a land where everybody was being aborted, Moses was the only one that survived. Throw that on the flip side, just in our culture today, and you wonder, what is the Lord going to do with this generation that Satan is trying to kill him before they even start? Satan may have been trying to kill Moses the whole time, knowing that God was going to send a deliverer, and it was a woman of faith, his mother. His birth has all these types and miracles associated with it. He was put in a little ark, like Noah. When he was rescued, his name means comes out of the water. That's just like Noah. Comes out of the water. Same thing happened to Jesus. All the boys in that area were killed by King Herod. Same thing as Jesus. Where'd he go? He went down to Egypt. Came back. The parallels are amazing. He not only had the training and the culture and the history of the Jewish people, but the scripture tells us, Acts chapter 7, verse 22, that he was trained in all the wisdom and education of the Egyptians. He was a cross-cultural kind of person, and he could go in both. He knew both. And then, of course, we read, he believed. I think he believed honestly and genuinely that God had called him to do good to the people of Israel, and he tried. In his own strength, killing the Egyptian, burying him in the sand. And they come up and they ask him, who made you a judge of all us? And that's when he fled, He knew the gig was up. You can divide Moses' life into thirds. The first 40 years, you could sum up with the statement, I am the deliverer. The second 40 years, you could sum up by saying, I'm not the deliverer. I'm nobody. And then the final 40 years of his life, that last third, you could sum up by saying, I am is the deliverer. The deliverer is I am. Not the New Age I am. No. The God of the Bible, he is the I am. I love how Louis Giglio wrote it, and he wrote a book. It's a great book. If you want to read it, it's excellent. It's called I Am Not, But I Know I Am. Great twist on words, eh? I am not, but I know I am. He just updated it. It's a great book. So there's Moses, and he's saying there, right there in the backside of the desert, looking at the burning bush. He knows everything that God has now declared to him about himself, and he says, oh, Lord, please send somebody else. So reluctant. He's so humble. But he makes God angry. I'm amazed. This is a remarkable statement in the fact that Moses is able to resist. He's resisting the Lord. Look at all the objections he put out. First objection, Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. Who am I that you would pick me? And the Lord answered his objection by saying,
I am with you. I am the I am, and I am with you. Second objection, who are you? What's your name? The Lord answers it, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. I am who I am. I am who I am. Self-reliant, self-existent, self-dependent, timeless, present reality, and I am going to go with you. I am with you, Moses. That's who I am, and I'm going with you. That's the second objection. Who are you? Third objection. What if they don't believe? Exodus chapter 4, verse 5. I'll help them believe because I'm going to give you all these signs and wonders that are going to do. And they're going to know that I'm with you. You got the whole thing with the staff, got the whole thing with the hand and the leprous. I know for some of you guys were tripping out that God could actually make you leprous and then, you know, reverse it and, you know, that kind of thing. You thought God only heals. No, he stuck it in, he took it out, you know. And I love this about the Bible is it corrects all of our systems. All of our ideas about who God is, it just continually corrects them. Does it not? Anyway, but he answers it and says, listen, I'll show signs that I am with you. Don't worry. Everybody will know I'm with you. Everybody will know. And then he says, why me? Why'd you pick me? I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't really talk. Even up to this moment, I can't really talk. I'm really slow at talking. I'm not really not that good at talking. When I talk, people don't listen. People start to sleep. You know, if I started a church, they would think, you know, Jesus said, come to me and find rest, and they'll fall asleep in church, you know. I'm not that eloquent. And the Lord says to him, listen, I made you, and I am going to be with you. I'll put the words in your mouth. Don't worry. This whole thing, this is something I'm doing, Moses, and I'm inviting you to come along with me. I don't know if you picked up on that yet, Moses, but I'm going to do this. And I'm inviting you to come with me and assist me. Debbie Friley, some of you ladies remember Debbie Friley when she came. I don't know if she told the story or not. When she was a kid, her father was a contractor. And he would invite her onto the job site sometimes. She was 4, 5, 6 years old. He'd invite her on the job site and he'd give her a hammer and a whack of nails and a board. And she was over there, one side of the house, just banging nails into the board, helping dad build that house. Did he need her? No. Did he want her there? Yes. Moses, God is inviting him. Listen, I want to use your life. I'm doing this thing. I'm going to rescue these people, and I'm inviting you along. Come with me. Why me? I'm not qualified. He says, listen, I made you, and I'm with you. Exodus chapter 4, verse 12. And then he says, please, send somebody else. Moses' real problem was desire. He just didn't want to do it. Nothing to do with God, nothing to do with himself. Everything to do with just desire. I just don't want to do it. God answers his objection and says, all right, I'll get Aaron to help you. Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. Fascinating. Fascinating that Moses is able to resist. And you have that sense there that the Lord kind of alters the plan. He doesn't, because he already knows what Moses is going to do. But you have that sense that he's going to alter the plan. Like God wanted to do it just through Moses, but now he'll do it through Moses and Aaron. All right, we'll bring along somebody else. And you say, well, why did the Lord get angry? Think about this for a second. The Lord is declaring to Moses very clearly who he is. The immensity of who he is. And Moses is saying, I don't think it's enough. Amazing, eh? Oh, Lord, please send someone else. How else do people in this text respond to the Lord? Well, we already know Pharaoh's response because God already knows Pharaoh's response, and Pharaoh's response is going to be to reject the Lord completely out of hand. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? That's what he'll say in the chapters coming up. He rejects him completely. It's out and out rebellion against the Lord. We already know that the people Saw it at the end of Exodus chapter 4. The people believed. You could change the word there, and they say they received it. They received him. They received the Lord. They said, we need help, and you're telling us that you came from the Lord. You do the signs with the stuff. We believe that you're from the Lord. We're going to follow you. That's it, man. We receive it. We believe. We got faith. And then you got Moses' response where he just resists. He kind of hems and haws. He's real reluctant, kind of rejecting. So interesting. To me, it's interesting. God's knowledge of the situation, of each person, knowing the future in advance, yet it does not take away the fact that each one has to make a free choice. He knows them in advance. He knows all things in advance. And listen to this. Through his means of persuasion, he's trying to persuade Pharaoh, he's trying to persuade Moses, and he's trying to persuade the people. And what is his method of persuasion? It's the same method he's using today. It's his word. He's talking to Moses. He's revealing to Moses who he is. He's saying, this is who I am. And he's communicating through his word to Moses, and he is gently, graciously, lovingly persuading him and inviting him. Listen, Moses, this is who I am. This is what my plan is. This is how I'm going to be able to accomplish it. I want to work with you. Answers every single one of his objections. I'm amazed by this. God accomplishing his sovereign plan by inviting people like you and me to participate with him in it. He's got a similar plan going on today, you know that. Very similar plan. He's still rescuing people. He knows, he sees, he hears. And he has come down to deliver. Listen. God is talking to you tonight. He's declaring to you exactly who he is. You wouldn't be sitting here in this room if you didn't actually have seen some truth, some validity to it. God sees all things. He has seen every part of your life. He knows what's happened to you. He's heard your cries. He knows the condition of your heart, even right now. He knows your secrets. He knows your guilt. He knows your shame. He knows what you're going to do when you leave this place. He knows the end of your life from the beginning, already. He knows the colossal mistakes and sins you are yet to make. Things that you may just shudder over if you were to know him today. He already knows them. And consider this for a moment. He loves you in spite of it. And has come down to set you free and to invite you into his plan. You say, Andy, how do I know that? The love of God has been demonstrated in that Jesus Christ died on the cross while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. He loves you. And he's inviting you into his plan. You say, Andy, how do I respond? Well, you respond the same way Moses did, only better. You say, yes. Yes, Lord. And you receive him as Savior to save you from your sin. But you also have to receive him as Lord.
You say, Andy, I don't understand. Why do I have to receive him as Lord? How come I can't just receive him as Savior, have my sins wiped away and cleansed away so that I'm forgiven, so that I'm good with God? Why do I have to receive him as Lord? Here's the deal. You can have your relationship with the Lord put back together and still be suffering under the consequences of sin, in a life of sin. And so, yes, you have a relationship with the Lord. By grace, Jesus Christ paid the price for all sin on the cross, past, present, and future. You have an open door to heaven right now. But only He knows the way out of the life of sin. You understand what I'm talking about? He knows the way out of Egypt. You may have a relationship with Him while you're still in Egypt, but He knows how to actually walk out of Egypt into the land flowing with milk and honey, where you're free. Where you're free. Uncoerced. That's why He has to be Lord. That's why He has to be Lord. You have to follow Him. Find freedom. Listen, you need to believe, you need to receive, you need to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you can do that tonight. When I finish the Bible study, we'll invite you. You can come right up here to these steps. You can kneel down. It's important to kneel. Kneel means submission. You kneel down, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and you say, listen, I need help. I am under the power of sin. I cannot stop myself from sinning. I need help. And He'll save you. He'll put His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And if you follow Him the rest of your life, He will lead you right out of Egypt, and He'll lead you into the promised land, right into heaven, all the way. Glorious. Good. Amen. Hallelujah. Big time. But maybe you're already a Christian. And here's what you need. You need to hear Christ's call to you tonight. You need to join Him in what He's doing. You need to see the wonder of how He works with people, how He's patient with people, how He extends an invitation, how He's kind, how He has loving persuasion. You need to learn to work like He works, love like He loves, tell the truth like He tells the truth, live like He lives. He's inviting you into that tonight. And maybe He's called you to a specific task. And you're looking at it the way Moses is looking at it. Back to Egypt? Back to Pharaoh? Back to all those problems? No thanks, I'll pass. You got anybody else that you're, you know, how many people have you talked to? Am I like number 9 or 10? You know, I don't know, you're my one and only choice. I'm going to work with you. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you don't think you're able to do it. Maybe you think others are more qualified. Listen to Jesus' words. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, even the closed ones. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What was that? To love one another. Love God, love one another. And behold, I am with you. Always. Even to the end of the age. Listen, what's going to be your response? Reject it like Pharaoh? Receive it like the Israelites? Or hesitate and resist like Moses? You know, Moses doesn't always stay there. He doesn't always stay there. Later on, we'll read Exodus chapter 33, verse 15. There's problems. There's always problems, by the way. There's problems. Moses and God are talking. We call it prayer. In the scriptures, it looks like they're talking. And we'll hear Moses saying to the Lord, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct? I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth. Hey, listen, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. I won't stay right here with you. He's no longer resisting, is he? No, he's clinging to the presence of God. Hey, you want to have a heart like Isaiah? Here am I. Send me. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, that you take people like Moses, people like me, people like the people sitting here, and you do amazing things with their lives. Lord, as we just trust you, follow, simply obey. Lord, it's not in our qualifications. It's not in our experiences. It's really in you, that you're with us, that you're the one that's actually doing these good things on the earth. You're inviting us into it. Lord, some of us need to just say, forgive us. Lord, we've resisted you in the past. And we want to say yes to you tonight. No matter how hard it may be, no matter how afraid of it we might be, no matter how much it might personally cost us, Lord, you're worth it, and you're promising to go with us. Lord, we pray, fill us afresh with your Spirit, Lord, to overflowing. Lord, some folks here tonight need comfort, and I pray, Lord, that they would find your comfort here tonight. Some of the folks here tonight need consolation. I pray, Lord, that they would receive consolation from you. You're the great consoler. Lord, some of the folks here tonight need direction, wisdom, understanding in different situations. Lord, I pray they would find that in you tonight. You are wisdom. You are understanding. You are comfort. You are consolation. You're peace. You are the great I am. Lord, we love you. Looking forward to your coming kingdom here on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you.